All right, everybody, we're back. This is still the Paranormies. I'm still Johnny Monoxide with Dogbot, Reinhardt, Alt Skull, and Jack. We are celebrating, I don't know if you call it celebrating. It's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Let's just put it that way. We're not celebrating. That's not a good word.
No, none of us are wearing our Israeli flags around our shoulders and dancing.
Yeah, none of us are doing the Talmudic shuffle, whatever you want to call it, that little dance that
I listened to that one country song, Tower to Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tower to Heaven, huh?
Yeah. Remember that day they built a tower to heaven? 9/11.
Oh, that was South Park.
That's how it went.
Yeah, that was South Park. Yeah, that wasn't a real song.
Crack me up, though.
That wasn't a real song, though. Yeah. It's...
Saddam Hussein had WMDs in the clouds.
Right. Yeah, I don't.
So is it like the philosopher god from Monty Python, except it's Saddam?
No, it was just
remember
a weird,
enough Monty Python bits.
It was just a weird.
He's talking about a little drawing.
Yeah, no, it's just a weird 9/11 remembrance song.
Transition.
Weird.
Transition.
Yeah.
Between. Yeah.
Yeah. They would just throw 9/11 in there and to make people go, oh. They did it on Family Guy. When Lois was running for school board or something, and she was losing in the debate, and she just said 9/11, and everybody just was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah!"
That.
Yeah. It is the New York, New England, especially New Yorkers, but that whole Northeast United States area's Holocaust for sure. You talk to a New Yorker. Oh yeah, one of my cousins was a fireman, you know, in there, and he lost. He made it up to the 63rd floor before the whole thing, you know, crumbled in on him. You know, yeah, he gave like a couple interviews before he ended up dying in the intensive care over there. Like, that's like every New Yorker. I hate to do that, but it's true, you know.
It is true. I've gotten so many comments now that I've been posting. Different, very triggering videos of 9/11 this month and a little bit before, or not this, in the past month or so. As you guys know, I've been trying to piss people off, just triggering no planes videos.
Yeah, it's the Yankee cost.
The Yankee cost.
Yeah, it is. And people have gotten so upset, and that's the line I was getting. I knew somebody who actually had a friend whose uncle died in the towers. It's like, okay, sure, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
My friend flew one of the planes. Right. They were totally planes.
There's somebody in the chat. There's somebody in our chat who has a friend who was on one of the planes, remember? The one of the people who came into one of your posts, Skull, and was like, "Do you think my friend is on an island living happy right now?" You remember that?
Oh my God.
Maybe.
Yes, I do. Probably. I mean, that's much more likely than they were actually on the plane that didn't.
Right. Right. Well, you know,
I don't
much
think
more
his
likely
friend actually exists.
Yeah, that yeah, friend doesn't that. A actually exist because you don't exist there, Glonig.
That friend is an AI.
That and friend,
Mr. No Avatar, just jumped into the chat. Isn't a member, just commenting from the comments section.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Always has a member. Who? You know, a friend's name who just matches up. You know, algorithmically, like the third syllable of the last name just matches up with like 67 other people from the list of 105. Weird. Did you guys read?
No issue there. So that is.
Did you guys read the list of the Vic Sims? I like that word.
Oh yeah, I've got the picture of all the pulled up, like the really small one that you got to zoom in.
Yeah. The two pictures, you mean?
No, there's like a PDF
side by sides.
Isn't there a PDF?
Yeah.
On his website, there's a PDF.
Yes, the Vixim report.
Yes, the Vixim report. It's like an 80-something page PDF.
Yep.
The mom that used to go around with the photo of her daughter and talk about how strong and beautiful she was. And
you mean that tranny?
She would have conquered the world.
You mean that tranny in the picture?
Yeah.
It's a tranny. It's a dude. That picture's a boy.
It's totally rough.
Yeah, that picture's a boy.
Well, that's why she's so strong.
Well, definitely.
She could have weightlifted you.
Yes.
She could have deadlifted you on two days no sleep.
Donna Marsh O'Connor is the mother. Donna O'Connor, and the daughter is Vanessa Langer. Vanessa Langer. Two things about this. Number one, that is a dude. And number two, Vanessa Langer is not listed in the Social Security Death Index. That's something that's very funny about literally every single one of the memorial people, their kids. Every single one. Sally Rangenhard, the activist mom, that her kid, Christian Rangenhard, he's definitely a thispersondoesnotexist.com AI generated thing. They tore his pictures apart. You have Mary Fetchett, Carol Ashley, and Carrie Lamack. They are all three of these women are very, they're the 9/11, they take the commission report around and the two pictures of their kids. They always have two pictures of their kids. What's that?
Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy Sheehan. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. They're the cry cis actors.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And they all cry at the same spot in every one of their speeches. It's weird. And of course you have Captain Sob, Bob McElvain.
Oh my God.
With the one of two pictures that exist of his son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Go ahead and talk about
it. Did we want to get into the doctored footage first or I didn't know how we were gonna.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to jump ahead to that, but we did. Let's talk about the doctored footage, about literally all the footage that everybody has seen, whether it's the live footage, whether it's the amateur footage. All of it has been manipulated at some level or another, which actually leads to the reason why nobody can get 9/11 correct, because nobody's really looking at anything real.
Yeah. So this is something that we've been going back and forth with a certain person, along with some other people in our chat about with the, just the no planes thing. But it's when you say no planes is one thing. Yes. Were no planes, but it's much more than that. It's far, far more than that. It's not just that there were no planes. It's that, like you just said, Johnny, every single video that you've seen of 9/11, everyone has been doctored in some fashion, every single one. And so when people come in here and say, no, there were definitely planes because reasons, you have to say, okay, well, let's look at each video individually, and each video individually can be shown without a doubt proof positive to have some sort of editing or glitching or some sort of manipulation, saturation changes, foreground changes, background changes, plane goes behind a building in the background, plane goes before and behind a crane in the foreground. There's every single video,
mm-hmm.
period, all of them.
You've got
some sort of manipulation. And if that's the case, then that means something else is going on. And at the very minimum, you should say, okay, well, let's at least look into that and say, maybe, I don't know, maybe there was planes or not, but I should have some questions about the quality and the veracity of these images that I'm looking at.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the most stunning ones was the location of the helicopter with the pilot named Pat, the supposed police officer who is putting down rescue lines for people who are on top of the buildings, right? The location of the helicopter that's supposed to be Pat in eight different pieces of footage is either completely different, or he's not even, the helicopter's not even present altogether. for this all synced up for the same time when the building starts to collapse. The first building starts to collapse.
Right. It's like a shot from 9/17, and this guy takes in the September. We're talking about some the media fakery, okay, of 9/11. So we're talking about the live footage and Simon Shack, and whatever you think about Simon Shack. We're not talking about him as a person. We're talking about this information. You take all five. There's only five live shots, right? There's only five. Like, there's Fox, CNN, a Fox affiliate, ABC, and one other news outlet that had live footage. So all five of these, all basically, if the World Trade Center in these live shots, all were basically like from the same angle, no matter what angle these things were being taken from. And the helicopter thing, okay, so you're taking a shot, say 9/17, right? So you have all five different shots. It's 9/17. Well, this helicopter should be in the northeast corner, right? And it's in like two different places in two different ones, and it's not in one of the other shots. It happens so many times. And you don't notice any of these anomalies when you watch these because you're focused on, oh my God, the World Trade Center's like been hit and it's smoking, and oh my God, you know? You don't notice the buildings along the sides of the pictures that are getting like the digital artifacting, you know, and people would now be like, it's like, Skull, do you remember the New Zealand Christchurch shooting? And we were talking about like the spent rounds just artifacting out of the shots, you know?
Yes.
And people were like, oh, that's because there was a shitty camera upload. That's because of shitty camera, digital camera, shitty camera, right? Shitty digital cameras. Well, you can't say that with 9/11. You can't say it was shitty digital imaging because this was all shot on film. This is all like pre-digital stuff. So how is there digital artifacting? I want somebody to explain to me how there's digital artifacting in any of these live shots. And there is.
The only way that could...
Reinhardt.
Go ahead, Reinhardt.
Oh, okay. The only way that could happen, even possibly, is if they were doctored digitally. That's the only way that could happen.
After the fact.
Yes. So, well, they can't have it at the time.
Hold on.
Just to explain a little bit to people who haven't seen the videos, what we're talking about is, for example, you'll be watching a video of the towers. The towers are smoking. They're right there in front of you in the foreground. And then there'll be an identical video that's allegedly taken from the same vantage point because the towers are exactly the same. You can lay the towers over one another in the videos, and there are multiple videos like this. It's not just two. There's like five.
There's five.
Lay the towers over one another. They match perfectly, okay? So it's like a piece of tracing paper that you've copied the buildings, and then you lay it over, and it matches perfectly, right? Yet, in the foreground, you'll have one building that's like a marquee, you know, this is this building, here it is. It's for reference. I don't know the names of the building, but say there's a building right here and it's over on the left. In the next shot, the towers have not changed. The angle of the tower has not changed, but the building's over here on the right. And now the building's in the middle. How's that possible?
Yeah, it's the Waldorf.
The angle of the towers should have been changed because these buildings in the foreground, and then sometimes it's in the background, have completely changed altogether. And that's only possible if you've got two composite images and you're layering them. And if you're doing that, well, then you're trying to pull a fast one on somebody because you're not just showing the raw video footage as it occurred.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I think happened is, Reinhardt, you said that they digitally altered this after the fact. Well, it wasn't that far after the fact. I think a lot of this stuff was kind of being done on the fly. And that's where a lot of these rendering things, these mistakes and stuff happen. Because a lot of this technology was like really new. I think they were using, what was the program? It wasn't Google Earth. It was like some primitive Google Earth program, type program is what they used.
MapQuest.
What's that?
MapQuest.
No, it wasn't MapQuest.
I think AutoCAD is what they were using.
It was an AutoCAD program, but it was like some sort of... Yeah. It was like, how remember the government program LifeLock that turned into Facebook? It was like another one of those things. This turned into Google Earth, whatever it was called. But
I remember early LifeLock commercials where they had the head guy's social security number on the side of a truck, and they had some black woman saying, "That's crazy," and then they edited her out.
Yeah, actually, that's a different LifeLock though. LifeLock, the government program was, there was never advertised on TV. The LifeLock you're thinking of is like how to protect your social, how to protect your identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing is a scam.
You have a black woman saying, God, that's crazy. They edited her out.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. We can't have Aunt Jemima screaming about that. Be crazy. We just can't have that.
I don't think she's the demographic for LifeLock.
Right. Product, they don't really give two shits about their credit score usually, you know?
Johnny, that is a good point, though, that they were doing this kind of on the fly, and that's where a lot of these mistakes could have come from just as well, too. I mean, this technology did exist beforehand. It certainly wasn't brand new, I don't think, but they weren't experts at it. It was nowhere near as easy as it is today. So I think that does owe to a lot of the mistakes that we see, like Skull's talking about, a building just completely switches sides.
Yeah.
And it's not just mirrored. It'll appear in the center.
Mm-hmm. I like, there was one video, I forgot which one it was, but you're talking about the Waldorf Tower that gets moved a lot. And in one video, this guy, I don't know where, he's like, the Tartarian Waldorf Tower. I'm like, whoa, he said Tartarian.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong with the copper, with like all the copper antiquitech on top. Yeah. But I digress. Okay. I digress. There's all kinds of stuff going on in New York City there.
Well, okay, so one of the questions I had when we were doing this research was it would be very easy to perform. Like, there are aspects of this operation that I'm 100% convinced were filmed beforehand in a studio and then were just shown on live TV. Like, we'll get to it later, but, like, for example, the people hanging out of the buildings and the jumpers and that kind of stuff was just studio stuff that they did and they added in later. But a lot of the stuff had to be done exactly as the operation was going, and we can get into the like the beep and the 17 seconds and the blackout and the glitch and all that stuff later, but it is it was a kind of a little bit mind-blowing and difficult to understand for me when I was researching it, how they took something and they had to make the planes go into the building on live TV, yet there were people on the ground who are down there who are reporting, and there's a newscaster, and the newscaster is saying, oh, well, we just saw a plane fly into the South Tower. There's a second explosion now. And the guy on the ground sitting there going, no, I didn't see any plane. It was just an explosion. So I just found it interesting that they were able to create all this on the fly. And that does make a lot of sense with you guys when you're saying that some of these glitches might have been in there just because they were rushing to get these things in there exactly when they needed to get them in there. And there's a lot of other discrepancies about what was happening on the ground as opposed to what was happening on the actual live feed.
Mm-hmm. I think the fakest footage was the footage before the first plane hits, and it's like firefighters by a vent in the ground, and one guy's got the gas meter. He's like, no gas here. Oh, hey, what's that? Whoa.
Yes. Yeah.
That was
that came up. Like, seeing that now, knowing what I know, I'm like, holy shit, that looks so fucking poorly faked.
It's like seeing the video of the weatherman supposedly out in the flooding that recently happened. I can't remember what city during Hurricane Ida, and you see it from the other angle, and everybody's just walking down the street, just totally fine, and this guy's just putting on a show, pretending to be blown away.
Mm-hmm. That happens in every sort of weather incident, though. That Anderson Cooper got caught standing in a ditch once. So, but no, you're not wrong about all that, the fakery. I had something I wanted to say and I forgot now. Shit. What did you say before? What was the thing before the weatherman getting caught?
Which one? Jobbot?
Just now.
Me? The firefighters with the gas meter?
Yes, the firefighters with the gas.
The flight 11 crashed.
No, the firefighters with the gas. Now, that's from an actual production film, the French guys. That was the two French filmmakers that were, they were following around a firefighter, like a first-year firefighter. And I get, what was the story? That there was a gas leak in that neighborhood the week before. So they were just going back to check up. And so this guy, this brand new firefighter, had this film crew following him, just, you know, chronicling the life of a new firefighter. And they just so happened to be in one of these 11, maybe 12 spots in Manhattan where you could see the World Trade Center as well as you could from there, you know, and just happened to have the camera pointing up, just so happened to catch the plane flying by that nobody else in the entirety of Manhattan. It flew all the way across Manhattan, all the way north to south, like all the way across Manhattan. Flight 11, all the way. It would have come across like all of it, and nobody saw it. Not one picture, not one. Dude, you're talking about a jet airplane coming over Manhattan at 300, 500 feet and 550 miles an hour, and nobody saw it. Just these two Frenchmen.
Yeah. Well, the audio was proven to be a stock audio from missiles that they use in a bad B action movies, and the crash sound is proven to be reproduced by just like I think like a cymbal in reverse.
There was a cymbal in reverse
overlaid over the bad missile sound.
It was a cymbal in reverse and a filing cabinet slamming.
Was that the one with the lady screaming at the end of it too? The one scream.
Oh my god!
No, but there are like three videos where the exact same woman scream was used.
Yep.
Right. They overlay the voice track, and it's literally the exact same. Like you could do the little squiggly lines thing, and they would match up perfectly.
And it's not
like a
just
Wilhelm scream.
And it's not just with the. It's not just with the woman scream. There's the part in the one where you hear the two beeps and then 17 seconds later the second plane comes into sight and smashes. They're in every live shot at the same particular point, and they did the same thing. One network is like a beep beep. One network does like it's like a breathing sound. It's like a and another one there's just two like blips of silence. And if you lay all three of them over each other, it's the exact same thing. And exactly 17 seconds after those audio cues, the second plane comes into sight. The first one was what I thought was funny is how you know it's a cue is the guy who's talking. And now, have you ever like been, you know, you've been doing your show and you're getting into your rhythm of talking, and all of a sudden something comes up on the screen and you're trying to read and talk at the same time. You can tell that your voice changes cadence.
Yeah, that just happened just now. You guys put the Love Wins. They lost their fathers on September 11th, then they found each other, and then everybody was typing gay, 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 gay in the chat, and I was trying to think, and I couldn't just now.
Right.
Oh, wow. Well, no, sorry. I just thought that was funny, so I posted that in there.
No, it's fine.
We all just immediately responded to how we felt about it.
It's fine. Whoever doesn't have their Skype on mute, somebody needs to put their Skype on mute.
I don't know how to do it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. It's I don't know how to do it. I forgot how to do it on PC. But you know, there's so many evidences of media fakery. They call it media fakery, and I know that Simon Schack himself, the guy who did September Clues, he doesn't like media fakery, or he actually likes the term. He doesn't necessarily like the guy who came up with the term. Now, the guy who came up with the term is known as the 9/11 meth head, right? Nico Hout. He's one of the first no planes guy, but he coined the term media fakery. But media fakery is what works here. We'll get into Nico Hout a little bit maybe later. But he was one of the original no planers. But he's a fucking literal freak. Like the guy's a fucking weirdo. At one of these, I think it was the 2011. Or 2012, 9/11 memorial in New York. He was like getting waterboarded and like confessing to being a no planer while getting waterboarded, like, you know, at Ground Zero. Like they were dumping water on him. They'd go, planer or no planer. Remember, you heard that, right? I watched that video. I went back and watched all those videos that what's his name there? Brian Stavely from Boston.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
But
just real quick before we get too far off of the French brothers, I just thought it was interesting. The French brothers not only recorded the flight 11 crash into the North Tower, Tower 1, but they also managed to get the flight 175 crash into the South Tower, and they also managed to get the collapse of the towers. Like those guys were some of the luckiest documentary filmmakers who've ever lived.
That's one thing
I wanted to say earlier. I really appreciate how they gave all these no-name film students and filmmakers a chance to flex their muscles and really show what they could do, but boy, were they disappointing.
Yeah, they were ready for the big time, man.
Yeah.
Clearly not. Probably some of them ended up on Sci-Fi Channel on Sunday afternoons.
I wonder what happened to the French guys. Like, do they still exist? Are they still around? They should
I don't
have
know.
Gotten, like...
Their documentary was just called 9/11. Right?
Well, they did a bunch of episodes of Stargate.
Oh. Did they?
Stop
That's interesting.
Did they really?
I don't know whether to believe that or not.
Did you make that up, Dogbot?
Saturday afternoons on Sci-Fi Channel.
Did you make that up?
I didn't buy it until years later.
You see how, like, I could believe that? If you said that, I'm like, okay, that probably checks out.
Right, but I don't
buy
them anymore.
It until, like, 2005.
Yeah. So, the French guys, yeah, they're the luckiest filmmakers in history. And it just so happened that every other amateur film, whoever took the amateur film, every single one of them happened to be, you know, either somebody who worked in digital rendering or film processing or editing or filmmaking. Just
every single one.
Right.
Everyone. Yeah,
there was like 11 amateur.
And they're somehow working for CNN or associated with somebody who works for CNN. This includes the interviews of the people on the streets as well. They all just happen to work for one of these major news media agencies, and they all seem to give a similar story. Although, you know, there was a little bit of deviation. Every once in a while, somebody would say explosions like bombs, and every once in a while, somebody would say missiles. But basically, they gave the same general story. All the amateur photographers just happened to be these. And it was never just some regular guy on the street that some no-name literally who. It was always somebody that would just had some sort of credentials as a producer or a camera person or a film editor or an artistic director or something.
Well,
very interesting how many incidences happened that day.
That's to give. I think all the amateurs being film people, not being television film people, right? These guys were, this guy was in like, you know, he was a photography teacher. This other guy was like an amateur, you know, a photographer. Like, they had credentials, but they weren't like really in the media. And I think that kind of gave a little bit more credentialism to the amateurs, if you know what I mean. Like this guy would have definitely, like, well, people say, well, the pan was so smooth, or the guy zoomed in so smoothly that only a professional could have done. Well, obviously, this guy was like, you know, this guy was a film student. He was really, you know, he was practicing his craft, and like, of course, he captured it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't know. It's like a weird form of credentialism.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to look at the inversion of what they're saying, because everything's inverted, right? Literally. Everything's fake, so you gotta look at what they're saying and look at the reverse of it and be like, oh, okay, you know, it's like, it's all inversion magic, everything, all of it. So we have all kinds of evidence of the major. Oh, the other thing about the major news networks. So you have CNN. We're gonna go to our affiliate over here, and they go to a Fox affiliate. Now, why would CNN go to a Fox affiliate? It doesn't happen. Fox goes to Fox affiliates. CNN goes to CNN affiliates. They don't. I mean, you don't go to your fucking rival news network, you know, especially red team, blue team news network. You know, you don't do that. Jack, it's been one world trade ever since they did the Joachim and Boaz 2-into-1 ritual. It is now one world trade.
Yeah, that was one of the whole points of bringing down the World Trade Center in the first place, was
yes.
to do the one world.
Okay,
one
I wasn't sure if that was it or if it was, it always has been called that.
No.
That was my confusion. I was like,
no.
Wait, what?
No.
Yes, it is.
It was the introduction of the New World Order, and yeah. That's why they did that. Yeah.
It is this concept here. Salve et coagula.
Yeah.
2-into-1.
Yeah, no, like, yeah. I've got that, but it's just like, wait, has it always been called this? Is this Mandela Effect?
No, it's
well,
just new.
And also,
new.
I mean, you can be excused because it's so fucking blatant calling it One World Trade Center for fucking
right.
Sake, right?
It's so on the nose. It feels humiliating.
Yeah.
One World. All right. So back to what we're saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're sharing a picture of the previous towers and saying One World. I think that's just a mistake. Okay, so the image he shared, it says One World Trade Center is on the left with its antenna clearly visible. That's World Trade Center Tower 1. I don't think it was ever called One World Trade Center. I think that's just a mistake.
I just posted the wiki.
Yeah. One World Trade Center is the new one that they created after.
Yeah. That's one
also known
said,
as
yeah.
the North Tower, Tower 1, Building 1, or 1 WTC.
Right. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think
was
that was ever
one called. Of the Twin Towers.
One of the yep. Twin Towers. Yep. That was Tower 2. All right. So
yeah, I see what you're saying, though. No.
Back to media fakery. We see evidence of networks working together, like, you know, rival networks working together. That doesn't happen. I've seen television and movies where journalists for different networks trying to get the scoop on a different on the same story, trying to break it first. Nobody's helping each other out, right? That's what they tell us in the movies. The reality is all the media is just one big conglomerate thing. All of it.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the earliest sticking points that people should have had, especially guys like us, should have had, is just seeing even the normie aspect of, well, they're on two different sides. Why are they doing this? Why are they working together? Oh, maybe they're all on the same team. That's like a starting point, foundational point mm-hmm. with all of this.
Well, we had to get together as Americans, you know?
Yeah.
We had to come together.
Right, that was
jinx.
That was a very, very big time of need in this country. We needed to come together, and CNN and Fox had to hold hands across the trenches. You know, come together.
Red team and blue team came together to go to Iraq for no reason.
Right.
Well, I mean, purple team actually does make sense in this context.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Uniparty and all that.
The rain.
And when people are like, hey, well, you know what, though, Skull? Well, what about all the tenants? Okay, what about all the tenants in there? They were all in on it, too. Everybody was in on it. Yes. You want to know why?
What tenants?
In 1993, every tenant was evicted after the bomb threat. Every single tenant that was in the World Trade Center was removed, and all new tenants moved in. So either tenants that were in on the plan, because this was definitely put into play well before 1993. Either tenants that were in on it were people that worked there, because I'm sure the building wasn't completely empty since 1993, but they had to have people going in and out to make it look like at least something was going on. Like the floors, like people did go into the restaurant, like that happened. People went to, there was like some of the stuff actually happened, you know, like something like people actually can go to the observation.
There's a lot of questions about, okay, the no floors theory, which I think there's a lot to that. I think that there's something else going on with the building itself. The way that I know it was built in, it was the ground was broken in 1968. If you subtract 1968 from 2001, what number do you get?
33,
interestingly enough. And in 1968, the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey came out. In that movie, the hotel that they stayed at in space was the Hilton, and the Millennium Hilton was the building that was closest to the World Trade Centers when they fell. And the Millennium Hilton is a exact model of the monolith from that movie. I don't know if you've noticed, but your iPhone is also a model of the monolith. And all of these things had been planned well in advance, well before any of us were even born, and probably, you know, who knows, centuries in advance. But when you look at certain pictures of the building, you can see light shining through the entire thing. And so there's a certain theory that says there were basically a whole lot of empty floors or no floors whatsoever in this thing. And it was actually just this big giant radio tower with a couple of floors, for example, all the windows on the World Restaurant. And I know 91 obviously was a floor, because I believe 91. One was where they had the Israeli art, quote unquote, students that they just philanthropically gave a whole floor just to do their little weird art project, their little click thing, one click thing with the helicopter and the photographs, and that's a whole other story. But it appears that I've also seen photographs of the elevator shafts, the elevators having like it'll jump from one floor and then there'll be just like 50 missing floors, and then the next one is up here. And you could do that. You could easily do something where a compartmentalization operation where, okay, you get rid of all the people that were in the ostensible floors, the floors that are there. I mean, you know, if the no floors thing is true, maybe they're all floors, who knows. But the people that are there in 1993, you kick all those guys out. And then what's left is you pull these people in, and then the people who don't need to know, well, they don't get access to those extra floors. And so whether the floors are there or not, whether they're completely full or completely empty, if you don't have a, let's say, and I don't know how this works, but let's say you're not supposed to be on floor 75. Well, then you don't get to go to floor 75 because you don't have access to that floor. You have access to the windows on the world. You have access to whatever floor you work at. But other than that, you're not allowed to go there. And nobody could really say one way or the other whether or not those things were completely at capacity, if they're completely full, if they're completely empty or what. And I think one of the biggest points of contention that we're going to get into with certain listeners is going to be that basically no one died that day. So that's going to be a little hard pill for certain people to swallow. But I just don't think those buildings were filled with anybody once they came down.
Yeah, I am at the point now where based on what time everything happened, the location of the World Trade Center complex is an extremely easy thing to do at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning where nobody is. Like, there's anything, the only thing south of the World Trade Center complex was Battery Park, and I don't know anybody's jogging down there.
But well, and throughout such a city like New York, nobody's really going to notice,
right,
that nobody's walking in and out. Not really,
right? But like, it'd be a very easy thing to do to barricade off or blockade off, you know, all those streets, yes, down that end.
Well, on top of it, there's a subway right below it, right? So the lobby is, oh, right, going to be busy no matter what, because you got people going in and out to go to the subway and take the train from here to there.
Well, don't
so
forget,
it's going to look bustling and busy.
Right. And right. Well, the subway that day, there was a union strike on 9/11, and the subway wasn't running. So the subway wasn't going down. Yeah, the subway was closed.
That's so lucky. Otherwise, those poor people on the subway would have suffered.
Right, right. All those people. Yeah.
It's a good thing Manhattan didn't flood.
Wasn't just Larry that was lucky. A lot of people were lucky on that day.
A lot of lucky people that day.
But, yeah, I mean, that pisses people off because it's the New Yorkers, the Holocaust, and, like, you know, like, my cousin's brother's uncle's sister's nephew was the EMT. Okay? You don't talk about people who died on 9/11 like that.
You're on that fucking show Rescue Me or something.
Yeah.
The firefighter show with Dennis Leary.
Dennis, he's such a piece of shit.
It's like when you tell a Jewish person 5,999,999 people died in the Holocaust.
Oh,
it's like,
God!
You don't understand!
Denial! Oh, God!
Or, I mean, honestly, back to Jim Fetzer, Sandy Hook. Same thing. You'll get the Boomer Internet Defense Force coming out.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think those were bots. That's my personal opinion. I think.
Oh, I agree.
You'll have O'Reilly calling you un-American.
Yeah,
like, you hate your country.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that.
As you're watching all the kids, identical twin kids, sing the Star Spangled Banner at the Super Bowl 1 month later.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about Dr. Mr. Jim Fetzer being yelled at by Bill O'Reilly, like. Because I don't want to think about Dr. Mr. Jim Fetzer being any kind of an op. So let's not talk about Dr. Mr. Jim Fetzer in that manner. But he might be. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, because he was in that. Simon Shack had him in his thing as the list of his COINTELPRO-ish people or whatever, right?
Okay. Sorry, internet cut out there for a second. So just before we move on from No Plans, just in case there's still people who are doubting any of this, you can go to our channel on Telegram and just type in No Planes in the search bar, and many, many videos that I've shared will come up. And the two videos in particular that I found the most compelling were, there's one where the Flight 175 is coming in to hit the South Tower. It's moving from the left of the screen to the right. And there's a crane in the foreground, one of these big old cranes. It's in the foreground of the screen. The airplane passes both in front of, at the beginning, I don't remember the order, but it's either behind and in front of, or in front of and behind, but it's in any case, this thing's in the foreground. There's two parts to the crane. There's the big bar part. There's the cable part that hangs down from it. One part of the plane passes before the bar part or behind, and then the other part passes either behind or before the cable part. So it's basically impossible unless you're having some sort of video layering issues. The other video, there is a building in the background. It's the same angle. It's Flight 175 coming toward the South Tower from the left to the right. There's a building in the background behind the plane, well behind the plane. It would have been at least one or two blocks back. And somehow the wing of the plane passes behind that building. I don't understand how that's possible in a real world, because it's not. It's some sort of layering issue. And what it means is there was no plane to begin with. Another one is the footage from, I forget who shot the footage, but it's one of the, I believe it's one of the amateur quote unquote footage shots. And it's shot from like basically a gutter in the ground at a 65 degree angle straight up toward the South Tower. And there's a guy sitting there and there's a car behind the guy and the windshield of the car, is reflecting the building for some reason, even though the windshield is in front of the building facing the viewer, which means that it should be reflecting the viewer and not the building behind it. I don't know if you've ever seen any building that's behind a windshield that's reflected in front of the windshield, but it actually records the plane going into the building in reverse and then the guy acting all surprised. So that's also completely impossible and ridiculous. And let me just see if there's any others.
With the amateur videos, the other thing that nobody really thinks about is every single video, you have a very clear shot of the towers, right? And they make it seem like no matter where you are in Manhattan, you can see the World Trade Center, right? So
yeah, you're surrounded by all buildings that block your view.
Right. As a normal human being, you know, you look up, and if a building is more than 3 or 4 floors high, you're not going to be able to see too much behind that. And so you have to be in a specific place to be able to see that far away, those tall buildings like that. It doesn't matter how tall they are. It's really hard to see, especially being, like you said, being surrounded by tall buildings. So it just so happens that those people just so happen.
They're right over you. So
Right.
I tried, for instance, last year to get some pictures of the top of one of these Art Deco buildings in Dallas. It's the one that has the neon red Pegasus on it. The top of it looks incredibly Tartarian, et cetera, et cetera. I had to literally find an open courtyard in an area that was about 2 blocks away in order for me to get a decent shot. And it was barely a decent shot of the top of that building. So it would be incredibly hard to get shots like the ones that we see over and over and over again. Two of the subjects of the footage that really stuck with me outside of Pat and his disappearing helicopter. The first one was how 5 of the shots, I think 2 of the professional ones and 3 of the amateur ones, all lined up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the same street and managed to capture the same angle of the same event happening. And when you line those up, there are buildings that made no sense where they were actually supposed to be. And the bridge behind the Twin Towers changed positions. So it's all the same perspective, but for some reason, buildings had completely changed. Some of them would glitch out entirely.
Right.
The second was the second plane hitting the towers on the Fox broadcast and on the NBC broadcast. The NBC broadcast happened to have a banner that went halfway up the freaking screen. So you couldn't see the plane coming in. You just saw the plane going through the tower. And what was bizarre about that was you could see the nose come out the other side intact, because the way this guy was able to line up what you could see of the plane coming in, that nose matched entirely the same with the nose that came out the other side. It should have been completely smashed. And then right after that, as if they noticed that they fucked up, for 17 frames, both feeds, the Fox feed and the NBC feed, went black, completely black. Professional broadcasts, for some reason, after the second plane hit, both went black for 17 frames.
Yeah, the comparison with the nose in, nose out, it's like a 42 frame sequence. And frame 35 is where the nose pops out of the other side of the building magically. It's boop, there it is. Because, you know, an aluminum nose cone, and Johnny, it's aircraft grade aluminum, okay? Aircraft grade. But 35th frame, the nose is popped out completely, right? So you take the first, I think it's like frames 7, 8, 9, you can take the nose and it just fits perfectly. Frames 10 through 17 or whatever it is, is when, or 20, 21, is where, up until it hits the building. All of those fit perfectly into that frame 35. So nose in, nose out is exactly the same. What the theory is behind that is that there was some sort of software glitch, and where the CGI was supposed to stop rendering was supposed to be the left-hand side of the first tower, which would have been the South Tower. But there was like a recentering, and it ended up centering, or stopping the rendering at the center of the gap between the buildings. So that's why you see the nose out. It was supposed to have stopped inside the building, I guess, is the theory behind that CGI. But that's definitely, I mean, no plane is going through, regardless. I mean, if an actual plane did hit the World Trade Center, nothing is going through an entire city block of what that building was allegedly made from. The steel boxes.
It's not one set of steel and concrete, but then two sets of steel and concrete, and then if the nose pops out on the other side, when we've seen, I don't know how many pictures of a bird hitting an airplane. And the nose is completely destroyed by a bird.
Yeah, but
they're little hollow bones and their feathers.
But I posted a picture of a plane that didn't die from a bird, so I win.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just real quick, one more thing about the no planes was the different angles that all the different shots had the planes coming in on. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like a 90-degree angle almost. There's a 45-degree angle. There's a, I mean, it's coming down sort of at a It was so many different ridiculous angles. The one that's the most ridiculous is the one that comes from behind the tower, and it's coming in, and then it banks way over to the left, and it does like almost a 90-degree turn back, and then it hits the tower. And then you'll see another one where it's coming in from the right to the left, and there's like three different angles of that one. Mm-hmm. And then there's another video where they're zoomed out, and there's no plane, right? And then they zoom in. And then all of a sudden, boom, a plane hits. And it's like, wait a minute, if you zoom out, there was no plane there before. So was it like a, did it teleport?
Yeah, that's one of the most famous shots, is that wide, wide shot of the entirety of Manhattan. You can see Brooklyn on the other side. And then they zoom in, and they zoom in a second time, and then boom, there's the plane. You should have seen that thing coming in for miles.
What great timing.
Yeah. But what you were talking about with the angles, the plane basically just shadow hops across the screen. Like it was at 1 degree, it was at like a 3 degree angle, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's at a 15 degree angle, like one frame later. Planes don't change.
Yeah, there's also,
you got a Boeing 767 changes 12 degrees, banks 12 degrees in 1 second at 550 miles an hour. No, that does not happen.
Yeah, yeah, there are the two shots where it's the exact same angle of the Twin Towers. And one of the second plane comes in at about 11 degrees, but then there's that second shot where it looks like it swoops down, you know, like like in a curved manner, and it's like, wow, that really didn't happen.
No, that one is the most ridiculous.
There's a lot of things that, like, you look at it and you're like, okay, well, of all the things that didn't happen, all right, this one didn't happen the most. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, wait, this one. Right. This one happened even less than there's that another one. Oh, wait. It's like, as you go on, you're like, oh, my God, this one happened even less. None of this shit happens.
Just setting aside for even a second, all of the video glitches and all of the weird anomalies and stuff, it's just not possible for planes of that size to fly at those speeds at that low without coming apart in the atmosphere. On top of that, these guys were training on Cessnas, allegedly, and then according to the official narrative, they flunked all of their classes, and they were like the worst flight students ever, didn't take any notes, didn't pay attention, didn't do well, and then they were training on flight simulators for the big jumbo jets, and yet they managed to pinpoint strike these two buildings perfectly, first time ever, and then they did the same thing with the Pentagon, and the only reason they didn't do it with the White House is because of some white patriotic Americans who made phone calls from the air in 2001
phones.
From the airplane on their cell phones. They said, let's roll, and they took out them terrorists.
So this is the original Hidden Figures narrative.
They crashed that plane so hard. They crashed that plane into oblivion. Nobody crashes a plane like
it
an American.
Disappeared.
We crash it so hard there ain't no plane left.
There was no plane left at any of the sites.
Right.
Except for an inflated tire at the bottom.
Oh, and that was the other thing.
There's a wing shape.
Yeah. Oh, but there's a wing shape. That was the other thing. The wing shape. Okay, but, all right. Before we get off no planes, there's a couple other things I want to talk about with no planes. I already said we were going to go long, so I'm not worried about that. The wing shape. Now, you can, if you do the contrast adjust thing where you futz with the different colors, you can watch the, I guess, the right 30 feet of the explosive that didn't go off, the shaped charge that shaped the airplane-shaped hole. You can see them. You can watch them draw it in with like one of those pencils, like an iPad, What's that thing called you used to touch the screen with?
Initial plane explosion happens, and then there's the little extra charges that happen on the right, and you can see them going off, and you can see clearly that it's a different colored fire, and it's a separate explosion. And then right at the end of that, as that one's dying down, it's like, they squiggle it a little extra with black marker.
It's like they use a Sharpie. You can see where, like, you know how, like, on your iPhone, when you want to edit a picture, you just want to just scratch somebody's name out or whatever, and you do it once, and you can still see through it, and you got to do it like two or three times. That's basically what happened. Like the,
right.
The opacity wasn't set
That's
to 100.
That's the Flight 11 video.
Yes, the opacity was not set to 100, so they had to they had to scribble it a couple of times. But here's the thing, is that part of the plane line is there. On, like, the ABC video, it's there on the Fox video. But on the amateur videos, it's not there. Oops, we forgot it. Yeah. That's the thing, is you never see all these videos together. And usually when you do see the videos, you're focusing on the excitement, the towers, right? The important stuff. You're not focusing on the stuff around the outside. Around the outside. All right. The last thing about the no planes is they kind of in-befored no planes with that that Hout guy and the, what's her name, Web Fairy, right? That Rosalie Grable. She was the no planes, like, half-shaved head bike lady, I guess. She in one interview, I guess she went into like weird convulsions and then all of a sudden started talking about directed energy weapons and vectorial mathematics. Like, okay, thanks for poisoning that well. And then Nico Hout is the guy who did the waterboarding no planes guy. And so, like, there you go. Right before before these guys are clearly plants, you know. And the Ace Baker guy, who is a, I guess he was originally a no planer, and he debunked the September clues by. He asked Simon Shack if he could use his video at a conference, and Simon Shack said yes. And what the guy did was he played his video and then, like, basically said, yeah, 95% of this is bullshit, and here's why. Watch my film. I mean, that's kind of a shitty thing to do. But then he also fake shot himself on Jim Fetzer's show.
Jesus Christ.
So these are the people.
Was that the guy who did it?
Yeah, it was Ace Baker. Ace Baker was a no planes originator, one of the no planers. And he and the Nico Hout guy, the meth addict guy, and then that Rosalie Grable, the Web Fairy, they poisoned the well of no planes right off the bat. They are the ones that talked about holograms and the you know, and they beamed holograms into everybody's heads, and that was how no planes got started off with the well poisoning. And then of course you have Jason Berman, the loose change shill. You listen to that phone call that Brian Stavely played, right? That was...
Yeah, God, that was...
Yeah.
So what they did was... Okay, so
and
Jason Berman...
About it was how good was it making him sound... Making Simon Shack sound bad.
Well, what he did... Right, what he did was... So you have Jason Berman, who's the guy who is the loose change shill. He has somebody do, like, kind of a... like as a setup call, right? They have a guy call in who they know is going to call. And they know what they're going to talk about, and they did a setup to talk about September Clues, and Jason Berman basically goes around and does a lot of trust me, bro, and uses mainstream footage and uses the amateur footage that we've talked about the anomalies in to quote debunk the September Clues. And basically it's just a fake, you know, it's just a setup. It's just a smear to smear Simon Shack. And like I said, whatever you may think of him, his information, that stuff stands by itself. I mean, you can't look at the information and be like, you know, look, his hair might be curly. Okay. Whatever. Like people have curly hair.
I watched like 4 hours of Simon Shack talking and his videos and, actually more than 4 hours, and I couldn't find a single thing that I thought was some sort of deception. Everything that he presented was very factual, very matter of fact, and fucking mind blowing. Actually,
absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I honestly don't see a bit of gatekeeper in him.
Nope. Jason Berman is 100% gatekeeper.
I wasn't really worried about what Simon Shack's motives were. I was very interested in the video analysis and all the side-by-side stuff, everything, just slowing down and pointing out things. Because, I remember seeing some of this footage when it happened, but it's been 20 years.
It's been 20 years. Tomorrow,
a
20
lot's
years,
happened
dude.
In 20 years. It didn't even dawn on me how poorly crafted some of this nonsense was.
It's really, really bad, some of it. Like, literally, the stories in the memorials, it's like they gave a bunch of C-movie scriptwriters like a handful of money and a random name generator and was like, make up something sappy. It was literally like a Hallmark movie synopsis of these people's lives. Every single one, you know? You listen to the parents talk about these kids. And it's like, you know, if she knew that she would make her brothers the saddest people on the planet. Who the fuck talks like that? Who the fuck talks like that? You know, like
crisis actor.
Crisis actor.
Crisis actors.
Yeah.
Right.